Welcome back, interweb friends. Stop the movie. I want to get out. Hollywood makes bad movies. We make fun of them. I'm Alex Dunbar, joined this week by... I'm already laughing thinking about this movie. I'm sorry. I just thought of an image of this movie just popped into my head. Joined by Jack Estabrook.
The diamonds are fake. I don't have any money.
Cody Wolf.
If you touch her, I will kill you.
And Brian Mueller. Oh, not even going for the catchphrase. All right. Brian's catchphrase. Oh, I bet Jack stole his catchphrase. Okay.
Wait, do it anyway. I want to hear your Nicolas Cage.
That was a real
one. I'm gonna do
this.
A different one. I'm gonna think of a good one.
Okay. Should we wait?
Just come back to me.
It's pressure. See, it is hard.
Our movie this week is
pressure
the...
makes diamonds.
Our movie this week is the yellingest movie of 2011. Trespass.
I think in honor we should shout this entire.
I think right after the Nicolas Cage's very first shouting rant in this movie, I literally said out loud, "Nicolas Cage for the win."
Yeah, this is he's very.
Marv Albert should have been in this.
Oh, absolutely, and his wacky toupee
and his wacky lingerie.
That would have really upped this. Yeah, this movie is very. It's Nicolas Cage, Nicole Kidman, and some other people in a movie about a home invasion and
gone bad.
It's like Nicolas Cage kind of... One of the things we talked about in his other movies is recent Nicolas Cage movies, he's like defying the audience. He's like, I'm not going to freak out. I'm going to like play this role.
Keep it together. Keep it
very
together.
Very stone-faced because people are expecting me to freak out.
I'm not going to do it.
And then you go back to some older ones and he's full of freakouts. I feel like this is actually the bridge between those two eras because... He plays a lot of it very, like, stone-faced, like, trying to, like, not... But then, like, explodes into freakouts, like, throughout the movie. So it's just, like, highs and lows of Cage-isms.
They're probably, like... They see it coming, and he's like, all right, I'm going to freak out now. The director's like, no, don't do it,
Don't
Nick.
Do it, don't
all
do
right,
it.
All right, I won't. All right, no, I'm going to do it. Get out of my house.
I just want to, again, before we go, we're seeing now the return of Nicole Kidman as well.
Yeah.
To the podcast. Welcome back.
Nicole Kidman, who used to, very recently, as Brian was saying before we went on, is the kind of actress who, like, you could kind of guess that, like, 1 out of 3 years she was probably going to be nominated for an Oscar.
Yeah, she's like Cold Mountain, The Hours, Rabbit Hole.
Yeah, she would show up in all this stuff. And now has been in two of the worst films of modern history in The Paperboy and this. I was discussing this with a friend. And we were sort of debating how maybe people are kind of figuring out that Nicole Kidman is good at playing cold, emotionally distant women, but that's kind of it. That's like, you know.
I didn't think she was bad in this movie, though. Like, in Paperboy, she was freaking atrocious, but in this one, I thought she was okay. For what the character was, I think she played it fairly well.
She is the least of this movie's problems.
Yeah.
I'll agree with you there. Yeah, she's...
Sure.
In fact, she doesn't even really talk a lot in this movie. Like, there's just a lot of her reacting to things.
She trembles and, like, cries a lot, but it's believable.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's probably a lot of trembling and crying in this movie.
Yeah. On all sides of the camera.
That's why it's so believable.
We're going to go through the movie.
Why am I in this?
To preface, just as a disclaimer for everyone, this is not going to make sense. Like, we're going to do our best to talk our way through it. The movie doesn't really make sense. Nothing that happens in the movie makes sense. In fact, within the movie's own logic, things don't make sense, with even characters sort of getting confused as to what's going on.
And I also think this movie, more than really any movie I've ever seen, has so many just pointless plot twists in quotation marks.
Oh, absolutely.
Where they, like, play it that it's the big twist, and you're like, well, it doesn't really change anything.
There's one we're going to get to where they play up something like it's a big twist, and then moments later a character is like, you thought that was a twist? That's not a twist! You know, like...
You thought that was a twist. That wasn't a twist.
Yeah.
There's also a lot of moments of characters like getting a gun or a weapon and then immediately losing it before they can do anything to help themselves.
Yes. Well, it does follow that basic rule of, like, I can't remember. There's a playwright who said if you show a gun in the first act, you know, you're gonna it has to fire by the end of the third. they technically meet that, but there's a lot of like, show a weapon, let people totally forget about it, then bring it back very uncomfortably. All right, so we'll start off a very clumsily made movie by Joel. Well, it's from Joel, the director of Batman and Robin and Batman Forever. There's a reason why in the mid-90s I promised myself I would never pay to see a Joel Schumacher movie.
I'd say a couple months ago I met Joel Schumacher, and he was like...
Really?
Yeah, he came to work because he was in town for the film festival. And he was like a super nice guy. I feel kind of bad making fun of his movies because he's like really, really nice guy, like really cool.
Cody was just Facebook messaging like, him. Hey, Joel, hope all's well.
I wanted to bring up like Batman Forever and Batman Robin. I'm like, he's going to think I'm like being a dick because I really, as a kid, I loved Batman Forever. I kind of want to say that.
I actually like Batman Forever too when I was a kid.
Yeah, and I was going to say that, but I'm like, he's going
to... I was 10, Alex. Don't roll your eyes at me.
I'm continuing to roll my eyes. Yeah.
I'm like, he's going to think I'm making fun of him, and I'm like, I don't want
to
do that.
So. I think you should have only spoken to him in ice puns.
Nice to meet you, Joel. Yeah. Yeah, I know. You should have done that. But he's a nice guy, and so I feel bad making fun of his movies. But
you got to remember, though, this is the guy who made Flatliners. And The Lost Boys.
Yeah,
Lost Boys.
Yes, he made good movies. Yeah.
Yes, he did make... He absolutely did. And then I don't know, things went off the rails. It starts off with... So we get Nicolas Cage talking on a phone. We don't actually even see Nicolas Cage. We just get wide, like, helicopter shots of a car driving. As Nicolas Cage is doing voiceover, talking about business dealings that don't add up and, in fact, are even more confusing once you've seen the movie because he's simultaneously talking about diamonds and real estate. And I couldn't...
And is he trying to sell something or is he, like, trying
to... The diamonds come with the house.
We still don't know because I was very confused at the beginning of the movie if he was working in diamonds or if he was working in real estate because the phone conversation absolutely plays it both ways.
Yeah, I have no idea. I still don't know.
I don't know. And he gets home, and we get into the real chunk of this movie is, will Nick Cage and Nicole Kidman allow their daughter to go to a party?
And this seems to be like, I felt like this was like supposed to be later in the movie. Like it almost felt like the movie started 20 minutes in.
Yes.
Like Nicolas Cage comes home, he's on the phone talking about diamonds, he walks in the door, Nicole Kidman's like making breakfast or whatever, and the daughter comes in and she's like, I'm going to a party, can I go? And she's like, where's the party? Oh, you know, just friends. And it was kind of like, what?
I kept thinking that we were seeing, like, somebody didn't know how to edit and we were looking at like long improv, like somebody just said like Blair Witch style, like, oh, just improv a scene and then we'll probably cut it down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they forgot to cut it down and we just get this like endless like nothingness. Like they needed to set up these characters but they didn't have anything for them to talk about. I don't know. So we get into this and we get a very weird moment of Nicole Kidman has bought a new thong, which this movie felt we don't see her in the thong, just for anybody who's pervy, like we don't see Nicole Kidman in the thong. But it's very important that the audience understand that she bought a new thong,
because Andy Wolfson here, I'm gonna say it, you do get to see her in a sexy black dress though.
She looks great. She's, you know, she's Nicole Kidman, but, there's really like some questions on what, for a movie that's set entirely within, I'm going to call it the Cage family home. It's set within the Cage family home. It's not clear even what's going on in their home. Like, because I think this is a genuine question. So tell me if I'm wrong. Is there an addition that they're building to their home? Do we know?
I assume that in later scenes when they show a room.
I guess so, because they show him at one point like walking through it. Yeah,
a half-finished room, but
yeah,
you get the impression that this guy is wealthy.
Maybe
like,
it's just still being built. House. She talks at one point about how they built the house, like she designed the house and they built it. So maybe this is just still being built. I don't know.
Maybe
like Nicolas Cage is like a diamond jeweler. And
is he a jeweler?
I don't know.
I think so.
Like, it's so funny that, like...
Well, because he talks about knowing how to cut diamonds later.
Yeah, I mean, it's so confusing because we spend a lot of time with these characters, but we don't get to know anything about them in this. Like, these are pretty basic... If you've seen this movie, these are very basic questions. Like, what is Nicolas Cage's job? Is their house under construction? And I don't have a firm answer either way on those things.
I think their house, I think it's just still being built.
Okay, you think it's still being built?
I think so.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Right. That's what I...
Oh, actually, that would make sense. Okay, that would make sense.
Maybe that's why the, as we'll see later, the alarm company is installing things.
Mm-hmm. Right. But portions of the house are completely finished, right. And other portions and are being lived still in, like...
Yeah.
Like don't even have walls. Like, right. Are still, like, plastic sheeting and, like, well...
Either way.
Yeah, okay. We get about 20 minutes of Nicole Kidman sighing. And
because Nicolas Cage is in his office talking about diamonds and lots of money. He puts something in his safe. And in the meantime, we see Nicole Kidman, like, checking out her new thong. Then she saunters in this sexy black dress. And then Nicolas Cage is leaving for some reason. Then he kind of does a double take, like, hey, what are you all dressed up for?
What's in the dress?
Chalk or something? So you get the sense that, like, there's some kind of, I guess, I mean, that their relationship is kind of strained, that, like, she's trying to turn him on because he's not there all the time.
Yeah, he just seems like he's distant and he's so involved with his work and she's trying to rekindle it or whatever, or try to keep it from going stale.
And this is also very...
Because even the daughter says at one point, like, whatever is going on between you two, you know, treat me like a child, I won't help. And he's like, is something going on between us? And she's like, yeah, you tell me.
Well, we get, like, very nerded up Nick Cage, is how I put it. Give him, like... I don't know what is going on with his hair. And that they should, if there's a behind the scenes feature on that on the DVD, I would buy it. Like, there
I almost thought they made him up with, like,
it looked
to make
like,
him look like he had like jowls.
Yeah,
and
I was
stuff.
Saying the same thing. It looked like they had, like, prosthetics, like, on his cheeks, because he looked
He looks like, yeah, like...
But not, like, naturally chubbier. It's just, like, he had, like, these
like
weird
his,
cheeks.
It looks like his face was chubbier, puffy, but not his body. Yeah, right. Puffy. He looked puffy in the movie.
He ate hazelnuts, and he has an allergy, and he's puffing up.
And he's wearing the largest pair of glasses that any lead actor has worn
since
in a movie.
Amityville 4 with the Patty Duke in her glasses.
Yeah,
they're
huge.
Like Richard Dawson, like Family Feud glasses.
Yeah. So he's all nerded up. And so I'm sitting here. I don't know about you guys. So it's at this point we get at the bulk of the movie. And I'm sitting here not feeling very secure in that I know who the main characters are. Or what? I don't know anything about them. Yeah. I'm just like, okay. And then they get a knock on the
door. Well, first the daughter sneaks out.
The daughter sneaks out. She wants to go to a party. Your parents say no. She goes, haha, I'm sneaking out.
Yeah.
And sneaks out.
Yeah. That's how big the house is. She can just sneak out in the middle of the day without anybody knowing that she's sneaking out.
I guess that kind
of
goes into more
of
that.
I thought it was
that.
Night, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they get a, like, the buzzer rings.
Well, I just want to say, when she sneaks out, she gets in a car with her friend who her parents didn't want her to go with because her friend's crazy or whatever. And as they're talking, the friend almost crashes the car into a pole.
Into a pole. Why is that a scene?
Because there's a callback.
Oh,
the
no!
most ridiculous callback later on.
That was a callback? Yeah.
That was. Yeah. You don't remember?
Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't even...
In fact, I saw it coming later on in the movie. I was like, and here it comes.
That's why I
want
to mention it, because later on there's... This is a ridiculous callback to it.
Oh, my God. I didn't even consider that.
Yeah.
That. Oh, I hate this movie even more now. I didn't even think of it. You're so right, the way. And that's outrageous.
So then it goes back to the house and there's a knock on the door. Or a ring on the buzzer.
A ring on the buzzer. Some obviously fake cops are like, hello, Mr. Cage? I can't remember his last name.
I think Miller.
It's Nicolas Cage playing himself.
Nicolas Cage. And, like, these cops are acting...
All my money got taken by Bernie Madoff.
They're acting super shady and are like, you can't see the cops, like, in the actual security system.
No, he sees, like, their hat.
Yeah. No, it's like a badge, like, pressed up against the lens.
His chest. He's like, right... Right. So he just says...
I would love to see them, like, they must have been standing, like, in a weird, like, squatting position to get, like, their badge, like, right in front of the camera.
Yeah. So he basically just says... Well, first he asks them, like, who's in the house? How many people are in the house? And, like, right there, it was just suspicious. So Cage is like, just me, my wife, and my daughter. And he's like, I'd like to come in and talk to you about some burglaries that have been happening around the neighborhood.
He's like,
and
Jesus, all right.
Well, like, Nicolas Cage is like, sounds legit. Yeah.
Wouldn't want to check that monitor I have right alongside that has, like, an aerial view of what...
Yeah, they're all wearing masks.
Yeah. I've got this incredibly expensive security system. Yeah. Sure.
Well, I guess we'll get to the masks later.
So he lets him in, and Nicole Kidman goes up to find to get the daughter, because for some reason he wants the daughter there. So she goes up to get the daughter who's not in her room, and the the cops bust in and
they're not really cops,
roughing him up, and yeah, they're all wearing masks and
everything's going crazy. Yeah. Nicole Kidman's trying to run for it. In a bit of geography that will never make sense, she gets to a car, gets to the garage, gets to the car, starts driving down their driveway, and then magically, a kidnapper then has Nicolas Cage in front of her car with a gun to him, which, by the way, is impossible. Yeah. So you're telling me a kidnapper forced Nicolas Cage at gunpoint, and they both together outran a car.
They just bolted to the
driveway. We need to get to the end of the driveway before that car that is driving. Okay. That's the kind of movie. That was the point where I'm like, okay, all right, movie. I see where you're going with this. And the kidnappers come in. This is where it's all yelling.
Yeah.
Like, there's just yelling.
There's a lot of intense yelling.
It's like 5 minutes of him yelling at him, going, "What's the code of the security system? What's the code of the security system?" And he tells him a fake code, and he goes, "Ha, we know the real code." And he puts the real code, and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So I were yelling at him.
Yeah, like, why did you need the code if you knew the real code? Yeah.
Then he says, give me your cell phones. And Nicole Kim's like, I don't have a cell phone. So he goes to cop a feel on her. Yeah. Nicolas Cage. Now, I want to say right now, this is the moment where Nicolas Cage starts getting his comeuppance for all the women he beat in The Wicker Man.
Oh, yeah.
Because he stands up to defend Nicole Kidman, and boom, he's down on the ground. Every 5 minutes, he's got a gun in his face, a knife in his face, a fist in his face, a needle in his face.
Yes, all those things.
Even some beeps in his face.
Some chicks molesting his teeth with her finger.
Yep.
This is just a bizarre movie. Poor Nicolas Cage is getting getting revenged.
And we also now keep cutting back to the daughter is at a party with her friends.
Yeah. And they're like snorting cocaine at this party.
And I kept thinking, like, okay, because we're spending a lot of time.
Jack is doing drugs at this party.
Jack's like, there was alcohol there. I was fine with a guy's head being beat in or a syringe full of drugs being forcefully injected into someone, but cocaine at a party? This movie is outrageous.
Shame on you, trespass.
This is preposterous.
My disbelief has not been suspended.
But we keep cutting back to this party, and I kept thinking, like, this party is important because we're constantly going back to the daughter at the party.
Maybe the people, well, the neighbors, the people were the party, or
there is something that does come back later.
Kind of, but like not really. I guess I don't.
Well, basically, yeah, the guy takes her up to his father's room. I guess
up to his father's room,
and he opens a safe to get some drugs, and there's like just stacks and stacks of cash in there.
And she says, this is $200,000
in cash here my father keeps.
In cash. So I kept thinking, wink. Okay, something like this money.
Like maybe his father are the burglars? Maybe he's one of the burglars?
I thought there was going to be some connection. This money, like we're going to actually see this money see again in the movie. No, you know, or there's going to be like, something's going to come back. And well, we'll get to that, but this is another dead end. The kidnappers, we now get a long stretch of them yelling at Nicolas Cage to open the safe in the living room.
And he tries checkmate him. He tries to like, well, no, you don't understand. If you think there's diamonds there, right? Well, how the hell are you going to steal diamonds? Because diamonds have these specific things inscribed in them with laser cutters. And I'm the one who knows. You're going to need my help if you want those diamonds.
Well, let's talk about that for a sec, too, because the kidnappers keep saying, like, we know things about you. You know, for one, be like, we saw Wicker Man. We know things about you.
We know you're going to freak out at some point, and we're prepared.
And they act like they're really smart because they were, like, doing surveillance on him, and they know he has diamonds. But then Nicolas Cage says this patently ridiculous thing that every diamond is etched with, like, identifying numbers, which, like, you don't even have to know. Which is crazy. That is not how diamonds work. But the kidnappers are like, ooh, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We didn't think about this. And I'm like, what? How? Like, that doesn't even make sense. How would that even be possible? And so he's, you know, saying to the kidnappers.
Well, then they're just like, you have cash in there, too. We just want the cash. Just give us the cash.
Right.
Still won't open it.
Right. And he's trying to negotiate with him. He's like, who's going to cut the diamonds for you? We'll be partners. We'll work in this together. We'll say you stole the diamonds. I'll get the insurance money. Everyone will be fine. And it kind of goes on and on and on. And he has a great line. This is one of my favorite lines during his freakouts. Because we get, like, his first freakout. He's like,
hey, how much do you think a bunch of hooligans are gonna get? 10,000? 10,000?
By the way, 10,000 is 1,000.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. I was like, are they, wait, what is 10,000? Like,
he was just I've never he was heard just it put that thing going.
Right.
10 cents? 1/10 of a cent?
Well, congratulations.
Congratulations, kid. We figured it out.
And they've got
1,000.
1,000. That's a weird, such a strange way.
And, but it's not inaccurate, though.
And we get to meet.
It just keeps thinking of different ways to, yeah, got 10, to say 1,000.
Yeah.
10 to the 10th power.
And there's
110s.
There's four kidnappers. There's kind of like a lead kidnapper, a younger kidnapper, a female kidnapper.
A strong arm kidnapper.
And a strong arm kind of like psychopathic kidnapper. And like the like muscle kidnapper is like, hey, every minute we stay here past the first 20, the risk goes up 10%. So they keep setting the stakes where I'm like, wow, these guys got to be out in 20 minutes. Not they're there for hours. They're there for the night.
I thought this was,
I don't even know why they even set that up.
I don't know if this is actually true, but at the point when he said we've passed 20 minutes, about 20 minutes of film time occurred. So this is like one of those real time movies.
No, I know what you're saying, but no, they don't even do that. No, because
yeah, but at about 20 minutes is when he said that line. I checked it. Yeah, so we're about 4 minutes to 20, and it was like 16 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, but there was stuff before that, though.
There was all stuff behind setup it. Stuff. Yeah, that's true. And the stuff that happens after takes way longer.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So we keep getting. We got to talk about this too. So there's the younger male kidnapper, and we keep getting these flashbacks of the younger male kidnapper who works for the security company in the development the Cage family lives in. And we get all these shots of him and Nicole Kidman kind of making eyes at each other, like when he's working on the house. And Cody and I were talking about this as we came in. It's pretty common in movies now to the concept of the unreliable narrator, kind of like the Fight Club or Usual Suspects thing, where like the narrator of your movie might not be reliable and some things get revealed. This movie goes a different path. It has an unreliable editor where the movie is showing not a character. Like, we're not seeing it's showing us flashbacks.
Through flashback, they show you things that
are not accurate.
Happen.
Yeah, that are wildly out of context.
And actually, the movie would have been a little bit better had that been the case.
Or I would go so far as to say, if the movie wasn't so openly misleading, mm-hmm. if it kind of like showed us some things but didn't like say to you like, hey, Nicole Kidman and this kidnapper have a thing going, because that's clearly what you're supposed to take away.
Because
they
established
flashbacks.
Like what they say. This guy set up the security system, and he had a thing for Nicole Kidman, so they give you the strong impression that they had been sleeping together. So she's going to. So this adds an interesting dynamic to the kidnapping in that the lead kidnapper wants to threaten Nicole Kidman's life to get Nicolas Cage to open the safe. The younger kidnapper's like, don't you lay a finger on her or else I'll kill you, which shows dissent among the kidnappers. And now Nicole Kidman sees a way out. Oh, I can appeal to this man. I'm assuming this is the guy I've been sleeping with. I recognize him. Please help us. If you care, you can get us out of this. And then you get this ticking clock, which of course pays off to nothing. But you get this element of the ticking clock. If we're here past 20 minutes, man, our boss is going to kill us, man. You know, you get this idea that there's all these. And then you get the one girl who's starting to freak out progressively because she's a junkie. They establish she's smoking crack.
Well,
she's running out of drugs.
Let's talk about that, too. The fourth robber, who's this woman, the fourth kidnapper, they bring her in. One robber is just roaming the Cage family home, trying on clothes and watching smoking old family crack. Movies and smoking crack upstairs. Yeah. Whose idea was it to involve her in this heist?
Yeah, she's not really adding much.
No. I mean, and she seems like a terrible addition to this crew. And then, there's a moment later on where I was mystified by why she was there at all. And Nicolas Cage just keeps saying, like, if I open the safe, we all die. You know,
so he's not, he's, he, yeah, because it's the whole movie. I mean, I can see how in concept this could have been really cool, because you get all these different dynamics in one scene in a matter of seconds, and there's lots of intensity, fast editing, guns being flashed, people getting punched and thrown down. And again, like I mentioned before, I'm going to kill your wife if you don't open the safe. I'm not going to open your safe because you're going to kill us anyway. You better not kill his wife because I'm in love with her. Oh my God, we got 20 minutes. Where the hell is the other kidnapper? She's messing around upstairs smoking crack. You know, it's kind of like this is all this stuff coming together. And then you got the daughters coming home. Oh no, what are they going to do to the daughter? And it's like the way it's played out is just like they were throwing paint at the wall and right. seeing what would stick.
Right.
I love, too, how the main kidnapper, he's...
Oh, we should, by the way, just to help identify him...
Sam Rockwell.
Clearly, clearly they wanted Sam Rockwell. Yeah. Couldn't get Sam Rockwell, basically dressed another actor up with a mustache to look like Sam Rockwell.
At first, before he took the mask off, I thought it was Sam Rockwell. And I was Never mind.
Yeah.
Starring Sam Rockwell.
I guarantee they were hoping people were going to come out of the theater being like, I really like that Sam Rockwell.
He always does a good job.
This actor, this poor guy, whatever his name is, has inadvertently aided or hindered the career of Sam Rockwell.
Yeah. But I like how Sam Rockwell... He pulls like a Joker from The Dark Knight where he has like a different explanation for everybody, like why he needs his money or why he's robbing them.
And then at some point it gets to the point where it's like, I need a kidney to save my mom. Yeah, and like, then all of a sudden he produces a needle full of a tranquilizer. Are they really going to cut someone's kidney out? What's going on
here? And then
he
tells them like, oh, it's because my brother is in love with a girl. And then it's, oh, we drug money or something. It was like, he keeps like coming up with different stories for...
Which would have been...
You want to know how I got these scars?
Which would have been interesting. Like with the way they did in The Dark Knight, you kind of know from the beginning that these things are like... fake stories. But when he goes like, I need this money, my mother needs a new kidney, she's gonna die, renal failure. And then like 5 minutes later he's like, you think my mother needs a kidney, my mother died. I'm like, wait, I'm like, if I'm being Nick Cage, like I don't think anything. Then I don't know what you're the one who told me this.
And if they don't need a kidney, why did he bring the surgical knife and the freaking Novocaine or whatever that was? Story.
We were at the fair this past summer for, you know, for work. And we're handing out these free bags, and this old woman goes, can I get an old bag, can I get a bag for my mother? And we're like, yeah, here.
Should we establish at this point, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Cody, let's establish, this is literally just a cloth grocery bag
She's like,
with a logo on it.
She goes, can I have an extra bag for my mother? And we're like, okay, yeah, whatever. So we give her the bag, and she runs away, she goes, ha-ha, my mother's been dead for years, and she runs away. Remind me of that.
It wasn't just good enough. She pulled up the highest. She had to shove it in your face.
My mother's been dead for years.
Suckers.
It was so great. I mean, she got a 50 cent cloth bag. It's so crazy. And it's so crazy that the robber's like upset that Nicolas Cage believed his story.
Because Nicolas Cage is like, just take my kidney then. Just take my kidney.
Yeah.
And he's like, going to do it. And he's like, oh, I don't need a kidney.
And you also, and we should, as Jack said, they also start mentioning that they have this syringe with them, if you give someone the whole dosage, it kills them, but if you give them a partial dosage, it will paralyze all three of them. A lot of information that A, we don't really need, and B, turns out, like everything else in this movie, to be unreliable.
Yeah. Where's your rope? Where's your handcuffs? They're gonna kill us. The needle is my rope. The needle is my handcuffs.
Yeah.
What? Why is he talking like a pirate?
The needle is my rope.
And we also, one of my favorite Nick Cage freakouts, I just want to do it, is like, he alternates between being puffy face punched in the face
by
these guys.
That's why his face was so puffy. He kept getting punched.
And then, like, trying to be aggressive with them. And the best one had to be like, congratulations, you hit the mother load. You did it. Great job.
Got $1 million in there.
Yeah.
Have we gotten the part where he starts chastising the people? He's like, get your people in order.
Yeah. I would go so far as to say the most romantic relationship in this movie is between Nicolas Cage and fake Sam Rockwell. There's a lot of like close talking.
Yeah, there's a lot of tension.
Like whispering.
Sweet nothings in his ear.
Yeah. Like, there was a point where I was like, I think they're going to kiss. Like, I really was like, I think he might kiss him.
I'll open the safe.
Yeah, I'm like, this is a weird thing.
I need you to be buttered up.
And we keep getting these flashbacks of, like, Nicole Kidman and this young robber and these kind of, like...
Ooh, la want to love you, baby.
Yes, yes.
Like, well, and the most important one is she comes outside and he's swimming in the swimming pool, and he gets out of the pool and he says something, but you can't hear what he says.
It's like Daniel Craig emerging from the ocean.
Yeah,
it's more Royale. Like Zac Efron
and he comes
admiring
up,
Nicole Kidman for a while.
He comes up to her and he kisses her, and then it cuts to the security camera and it shows that the camera's got a shot of them kissing and by the pool.
Right.
And that comes in later.
It comes in later in an even more confusing way.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then the daughter comes home from the party. The daughter gets creeped out at the party by the guy who had all the money, who's trying to hit on her, and she's like,
the guy from The Following.
Oh, is he from The Following?
Have you seen that show?
I don't really watch The Following.
I don't follow it.
Get it? Get it.
Pause for edit?
Yeah.
Okay.
The guy from The Following.
Okay.
I haven't seen it.
So she comes, the daughter comes home. She's kind of
Walking around the house. She's like, "Hey, mom, where are you, mom?"
Right.
And then Robert's like, "Hey, wait a minute."
Whoa. Yeah. How do they get? Oh, the daughter gets caught. She tries to escape, but the daughter also gets caught.
Yeah.
Again, leading to me being like, "Why did she go to this party? Like, why is this party even a storyline?" There is a really funny shot, though, because the fourth robber, the fourth kidnapper, is this girl who's been trying on clothes in the house. So the daughter comes home, and everyone has to freak out and chase her, and the fourth kidnapper is still wearing a dress from Nicole Kidman's, and the shots of that are pretty entertaining. Like, again, showing how incompetent this heist is.
Right.
So
they bring the daughter into the room, and they're now using her as leverage.
Yes.
And this is where Nicole Kidman, at one point Nicole Kidman was alone in a room with Sam Rockwell.
Fake Sam Rockwell.
And and he's like really close to her, and you see her like take the syringe out of his jacket.
Yes.
Which they very conveniently showed him putting into his jacket about 5 minutes earlier.
Yes.
So she takes down and she like hides it in the back of her dress or something.
Let's pause there.
She's like
for
hitting
a second
on him, and she like gets close and takes it.
Because this is important. Where did she hide that syringe?
I was wondering that too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sort of like putting it like in.
Moving
in like
on.
Well, because she's wearing a dress, a slinky black dress.
She like stuck it in her back and then squeeze it down.
Yeah, where did it go?
Back muscles.
We're gonna not.
Well, the movie.
Jack thinks leave it at that.
The movie essentially wants you to believe she must. The only place she could have put this, there's no
is
pockets
in her crack.
In her thong, like no, that's. Well, I think that's why they established that she was buying new underwear, was so that we knew where this.
I didn't catch that.
Because there's no.
Oh,
other...
like that was like a reshoot of her like buying a thong, so we could see. Oh, that's where she held the needle. Oh, okay.
I have to think
callback.
So. Yeah, because I'm like, where else? Where, like when she actually, there's a moment when she pulls this shot out
this
later
dress
on, where
is
I'm like,
painted on her.
Where was this?
Yeah.
So she's hidden it though, and she has it with her in the room. And she, when they bring the daughter, and she freaks out, and she grabs fake Sam Rockwell, and she's threatening him with the needle, and saying, she's saying, let my daughter go, let her run away, and I won't kill him.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
And she's saying, just kill, at one point she says, just kill us all, I don't care anymore. Just
right.
Let her go, and I won't kill him. And so, like, I think they let her go, don't they? They, like,
they let
the guy, like,
go.
Gives her a jacket. And
he, like, slips a cell phone into the pocket
so they can, like,
of the jacket.
Oh, track her or something?
No, he puts a watch in there so when it goes off, he can
hear. Oh, that's
it.
Right. It's a watch. Sorry, yeah.
So he puts a watch in there, and he lets her out the door. And then somehow, I can't remember what happens.
They
get turned back.
Yeah, they just get her back. Like it's a lot of, like, they set something up that goes nowhere, and it just ends up with everyone just still sitting around in the same living room. Like, I feel like this script originally was for a stage production. I feel like this was a stage production that someone was like, oh, we could adapt that to a movie. And, you know, and no one along the way said, no, you should not. Like, this is better as a stage production.
This is a one-act play. We got to stretch it.
Yeah.
So at some point, is this where he actually opens the safe?
Yes.
At some point, they convince him just to open the safe.
Yes.
Because they're like, okay, we're done playing. We are going to kill your
wife. Oh, Nicole Kidman. Because Nicole Kidman, when she's has, like, during one of these Mexican standoffs,
oh, that's
she's
what
like,
yeah, she's like, okay,
she's
just
like,
open the
Nick
safe.
Nick Cage,
now.
Open the safe, you idiot.
Yeah, she's
you
still know. Got fake Sam Rockwell. She's like, just open the cage, give them what they want, and we'll get out of here. And so he opened the safe, not the cage. He opens a safe.
Is that what you wanted? Is that what you wanted?
he opens a safe, and of course, it's completely empty.
It's empty.
And then the crackhead chick keeps sticking her hand in there like she's going to find something, going, no, 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 it can't be possible. No.
Like, she's putting her hand in like she thinks this safe is like something from like Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Like, it's like an optical illusion that it's like empty or something.
She's on crack at this point.
Didn't we see him put something in there, though?
I was confused by that, too. I think it was him taking it out and hiding it, because it then shows him going to the addition to the house.
Oh, you're right.
I think he was taking money out and hiding it. That's what I'm assuming because
he did open it.
What I love right now, he was anticipating getting trespassed. What I love right now, this is one of my favorite scenes in the movie. Is the moment they realize the safe is empty. The Sam Rockwell character goes, "Ah, damn it! Put your hand against the wall." To which Nicolas Cage goes, "Okay."
Yeah.
And then he smashes it. He like pistol whips his hand. He's like, "Ow!" I was like, "Why did you do that?"
If you're a fan,
and this all happened in like 2 seconds. Damn it, it's empty. Put your hand against the wall. Boom. Ah!
If you like Nicolas Cage screaming in pain, this is your movie. There's a lot of that.
He gets put through the ringer.
Yes.
So.
And this is, we also go through the... Now Nicolas Cage is like, now you know, I'm broke.
Yeah, that's what I was like, I got my big secret.
Yeah, which I was like, this is very art imitating life. Because at the same time, Nicolas Cage in real life was like going broke. Was like having to sell off all of his homes and all of his stuff. Yeah.
The tax man.
It was that damn Bernie Madoff.
Congratulations, I'm a middleman living on credit. Now you know.
And considering this was 2011, that would have been like right when that happened.
I know.
Yeah.
This ties in sort of with, I think, the theme of the movie, which they obviously buried. But the theme of the movie is kind of like Nicole Kidman and Nicolas Cage are learning more about each other in this instance than they have in the last 10 years or whatever, is that...
They get to spend time together.
They're leading us to believe that she is carrying on an affair with the security guard who is now robbing her house. And now he's revealing to her, I sold your diamond necklace. We're bankrupt. We have no money. You thought I was rich. I was lying. When I'm going out to work, I'm not working. I got fired. I'm pulling hustles. I'm selling what I can just to pay off our creditors. So I thought, well, this is an interesting... From like a pre-production stage, you look at the script and say... Two people are living these lives. You get the perfect housewife. You've got the successful husband, and they realize within this moment of crisis that he's a penniless swindler and she's cheating on him.
Right.
And that concept is interesting, but of course, this takes a seat that's not even in the back. It's not even in the same building.
No. That's not it. And this is also in the point when. When they reveal, because earlier the kidnapper had been like, I need your kidney. I need someone's kidney.
He like flips him and slams him on a table.
Nicolas Cage is like, take my kidney. an old classic negotiation point. And the kidnapper's like, fine. And he's like getting ready. Like, Nicolas Cage thinks he's about to have impromptu surgery done on him. When instead the kidnapper just stabs the knife in the table. Is like, you think I want your kidney? I don't want your kidney.
But why are they leaving him alive? Why didn't they scram? Once they realized the safe was empty, they should have been like, crap, let's cut our losses and skip town. Because
he still needed the money. And he figured they had to have money somewhere.
And we have to talk about one of the funniest visual moments in this. So Nicolas Cage is on this table. The knife is in the table next to him. And Nicolas Cage is doing the thing where he's finger walking across the table very slowly.
About 3 inches.
Towards like the hand from the Addams Family.
I was thinking Evil Dead 2 when the hand's like pulling him along.
Yeah.
Why is Nicolas Cage walking his hand with his fingers? Why didn't he just take the knife?
Grab the knife.
It's a thing. Bam.
And it's so distracting because he's like, finger, one, two, three. Finger, you know, like, and then it doesn't even stop there. He then like finger walks like up the knife. Dude, your hands are on it. Just grab the knife.
And then the big guy just like sees him do it and just takes the knife off the table. Yeah. Like, oh, that'd be
funny if the bad guy's hand came like crawling on the
They both race for the knife, the finger race,
and then they have a thumb warp over the knife. A dramatic thumb war.
I wonder if that was Nicolas Cage's idea.
I think I should finger walk across the table. I don't think my character would grab the knife and take it that immediately. I think he's not that kind of brazen attitude. Whatever, Nick, do what you want. Who cares? Let's just get this thing filmed.
So now the robbers start going to plan B, plan C, plan D.
I get the sense these guys had no plan, because then we get backstory on them, like a flashback of how, yeah, we were just dudes who worked together in a strip club, and we borrowed a lot of money from this drug dealer. Or no, we were going to sell drugs for this drug dealer, but then we got the drugs jacked from us, and now we owe him $20,000. And it's like, okay, why didn't he just say that? Why come up with the kidney mom story and waste screen time?
I don't know.
Trying to garner sympathy.
So they are just walking around the house. They find the funniest picture, the goofiest production still ever
of Nicole Kidman
wearing the jewels, wearing a necklace. It doesn't even look like a normal picture. Like, it looks like an ad for pearls, where like her hands are on the necklace, but it's in like an 8x10 frame. So they come walking through the house like, "Where's this necklace?"
You've been holding out on us.
Goofy. It's so goofy.
That's actually the picture that comes with the frame.
That's my wife's job. She's a professional. She's a professional model. Yeah,
picture model.
Picture in the frame. Yeah,
I'm surprised Cage didn't try that. He tried every other tactic.
You idiot.
And then to that he would respond.
That's what my wife does. She takes pictures for photo frames.
Put your other hand on the wall.
You figured it out.
She doesn't have any jewelry.
I'm an amateur photographer. Fine, now you know.
Congratulations. You're 100% correct.
You're 10 to the second power percent correct.
And through all of this, the crazy kidnapper keeps threatening to just shoot like Nick Cage and Nicole Kidman, to which I'm like,
at some point,
what is that going to do for them?
At some point in the movie, the young one who had the thing for Nicole Kidman, all of a sudden he's crazy and the plot and has to take medication. Like, oh, you're crazy. Yes, your crazy brother's going to get us all killed. He's not taking his medication. When did this factor in?
I love it. He goes, "You're not." He says to his brother, fake Sam Rockwell says to his crazy brother, "Oh, you're not taking your medication," because he's acting kind of wacky.
Right.
And he's like, he pops the medication in his mouth. And
he does that movie thing, which I hate movies. He does the movie thing where you just like dumps take like a whole bunch of pills all at once. And then the fake Sam Rockwell grabs it. He just takes a whole bunch of pills at once. He's like, "Ah, these are Tic Tacs." And again, I'm like, "What? Nothing is real."
Your
in this
asshole
movie.
Doctor gave you Tic Tacs.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't.
The brother should be like, "You figured it out. Tic Tacs. Congratulations."
Looks like we're all learning a lot about each other today.
You thought I was taking antipsychotic medication? I don't take antipsychotic medication.
That doctor died years ago.
God bless Nicolas Cage.
And then, okay, so somewhere, maybe I'm moving forward a little bit, but let's get to the point where Nick Cage
the necklace. They find the necklace at some point.
Yes. So, they, okay.
To which there's another twist and turn. In the
you know anything about diamonds? Diamonds can break. Diamonds can't break.
This movie should just be called Dead Ends. Like, because all these things. Now we've got this diamond necklace. We found it. Nick Cage is like, "Guess what? That's a fake. You think that's a real necklace?" It happens so often in this. Anytime someone comes up with something, they're like, "You think?
I'm at this autographed basketball from LeBron James. That's a fake. I signed that myself to try to impress the kids in the neighborhood."
You think this is my wife?
Towards the end, it would have been
some lady I met on the street 2 days ago.
You think I live in this house?
Our friends are out on vacation.
This could go anywhere. You think that's my daughter? I don't know her.
How stupid do you think we are?
So they proved that the necklace that everyone was fascinated with for 5 seconds is also a fake.
They break it. Just break it. Okay,
I was waiting for at one point someone to like lean on a wall and for like the whole house to collapse. Like made of cardboard.
You think this is a real house? You're on candy camera. Smile, jackass. There you go. You figured it out.
You think this is a car? There's no engine in it. It just keeps getting worse.
You think this is my kidney?
So great. So, but during this, earlier in the movie, Nick Cage finds a Zippo lighter out by his pool.
Yeah.
And then when he and his daughter are duct taped up, he has his daughter get the Zippo lighter out of his pocket, and they start
very much like Indiana Jones in the
very Last Indiana Crusade. Jones. Yes,
the chair is on fire.
Yeah, and burn through. But they're burning through ropes. Here yeah, they're burning through duct tape.
Yeah, what are they like directly on your skin?
Yeah, this did not. But
someone should have been like, "What smells like burning duct tape in here?"
Yeah, what smells terrible? Well,
in the meantime, behind a translucent glass wall.
Behind a you think that's a fart?
Sulfur deposits in the bedrock. You think that was a fart? There's a. You figured it out. Congratulations. No. Okay. In the meantime, Nicole Kidman's getting like felt up by the crazy guy behind some translucent glass. The crackhead chick is pointing the gun, but she's obviously not paying attention, allowing them time to burn the duct tape.
And Nick Cage manages to stand up, pick up a chair. It may be the only smart thing any character does in the whole movie. Picks up a chair, throws it through a window, which sets off the security alarm.
Yep.
Okay, so now... Oh, my God. And immediately the alarm company ring, or the alarm company calls them back, or calls on the phone.
Yeah.
And the young kidnapper answers it. And, you know, I got to do this scene. good evening, sir. This is Artemis Security. We're going to have to call you back. Yeah, that's not suspicious at all. Even Han Solo in the Death Star had the presence of mind to say, no, everything's fine here. How are things with you?
Yeah.
We're going to have to call you. We have to call you back.
Of all the things to say.
It comes back to her. She's like, oh, that was weird.
And not to mention, this guy installed the security system, so you think he would know the code. Yeah, the guy works for
security. Right.
The system that's calling him.
That's right. He works for the company.
It's an inside job. So
he would know exactly what to say.
Yeah. And he would know how, you know, dangerous that, or like how suspicious that would be to say that. Ay, ay, ay. All two at the same time, somehow. Okay, so now the weird paralyzing syringe is back in the movie.
Because the big guy gets felled. Nicolas Cage is able to inject the big guy with felled. It. But how not he, enough, though.
But how? How does Nicolas... Because
they're
Nicolas,
fighting with it.
Nicolas Cage and the big guy are fighting. The big guy unquestionably has the upper hand on Nicolas Cage. All of a sudden, both of them fall over, and it's revealed that the big guy got stabbed with a syringe.
I think he, stabbed himself in the arm with it.
I don't know. The only way he could have gotten syringed was if he syringed. I don't. That made no sense.
And they also
to
make
me.
A point to do it to do a close up of the syringe half full.
Yeah.
A call back to earlier.
So you know he's not.
The
dead.
Whole thing will kill you. Yeah.
Yes.
But a little bit won't.
So the big guy is.
So he just sleeps for about 20 minutes of the movie.
To conveniently come, you know, wake up again later.
Right. Right. They call back to the alarm company, or they have the daughter...
Like, catches
the alarm company keeps calling them back.
Oh, that's right. That's right. The alarm company
and
calls back.
And now we're in that mysterious expansion?
So, okay, what happens is... Okay, this is all kind of confusing.
Wait, have we gotten to the part yet where he's telling him the story of why they actually need the money?
I think they already told him.
Oh, is this... I think, because somewhere in there... You're right, because somewhere in there, the kidnapper... Oh my God! This is.
I wouldn't talk about that scene.
This is even crazier. Yeah. Well, that might be coming up because I think we still have to do. I think they reveal it afterward. Well, we've got two more good reveals coming up.
Well, this scene. Okay, so this is just because we're on the alarm. Nicolas Cage syringes the guy and he steals a shotgun. At the same time, the daughter has gotten away from the woman kidnapper. She like smashes her face in a mirror and she runs away. Yep. They both end up in the expansion or the whatever the. Being built.
The addition.
The unbuilt addition.
What we suspect to be an addition.
So Nicolas Cage is like walking through this addition with the shotgun. The daughter ends up in the addition. She's like hiding under something. And one of the kidnappers comes in like grabs her, and then he's holding a gun to her, and Nicolas Cage comes around the corner. He's like, put the gun down. And then somebody else pops out with a gun on him, and they're like, you put the gun down.
He's like, oh,
sense of again, this went nowhere.
Yeah.
You got me.
So then they grab the daughter, and they call back I think he had the security company on hold, and he gives the phone to the daughter and says, here, tell him the code. And so the woman's on the phone with her. She's like, hey, sweetie, we need the code so we can call off these police if you're just having, because she tells her they're just having a party or whatever. Right. She's like, we need the code. She's like, the code is diamond.
I'm like, now I'm thinking like, oh, this is definitely going to be a fake code.
Yeah. So she's tipping him off the fact that something's wrong.
We cut to the security person looking at her computer monitor, and the code is
diamond.
Diamond. The code actually is diamond.
I wanted to say at this scene when she's on the phone, they do cut to a wide shot where Nicolas Cage is like pressed up against like a glass wall or something, and the crackhead girl is like feeling up his teeth.
Rubbing his gums.
Like biting his shoulder and like molesting his teeth.
You thought these were my teeth? These are dentures.
Well, and also like... If you're the Cage family and it appears that he works in diamonds, this having diamond as your code is slightly above having password as your code or 123456 as your code.
That's like something an idiot would have in his luggage.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I'm a kidnapper or if I'm a robber coming in to steal diamonds and they ask me what the code is, I'd be like, I don't know, diamond? Oh, hey, bonus.
It's so obvious no one will guess it.
I did have a note where I was really hoping at that point the security agent was going to be like, you think the code is diamond?
We're sending the police right away.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't she just give them a code she knows isn't right?
Right,
that's mystifying
to
me.
Well, at first I thought, maybe he was so close to her, were they kind of both on the phone, and he had the gun to her, so he'd be like, I'm listening too, so any false move, and I will...
Either way, though, you would think that, you know, she would say, oh, the code is gold, and she would have been like, yeah, that's the code. Okay.
Right.
Talk to you later, sweetie, or whatever, and then sent the police. You know, she would have been quiet about it, too, but...
Well, the daughter has a long... Her storyline is one of not calling the police. Yeah. Actually, that's her arc. Only at the end of the movie does she realize that the police are good.
The code is not the bees.
I think it's the scene after the scene where he gives them the actual story of why they need the money.
Yes.
Probably. It's somewhere along the line, yeah.
Yeah. So we get Nicolas Cage gets... We're going to jump ahead a little bit. Nicolas Cage gets shot in the leg for, like...
Again.
Just out of frustration.
And then the Sam Rockwell, like, is like, sticking his thumb in the wound to try to get him to talk. Like,
well, I do
him.
Like that beginning of that scene though, where the fake Sam Rockwell is like, okay, let's just start over again. And then he shoots him in the leg. He's like, very kind. He's like, let's just start over again. Like,
I'm not going to lie, he did have an interesting villain dynamic with Cage.
And we also then find out that fake Sam Rockwell comes to Nicolas Cage, and Nicolas Cage has a 8x10 printout from the security camera of the young like kidnapper and Nicole Kidman together.
Yeah.
Which, all right, and we can reveal this. The movie, not a character in the movie is an unreliable narrator. There is no affair between Nicole Kidman and the young kidnapper. He's just obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And they've been showing us wildly out of context footage throughout.
Yes.
And so Nicolas Cage has an 8x10 still photo of him kissing her at the pool. But for Nicolas Cage to make that 8x10 photo, you'd have to think he watched the rest of the video where Nicole Kidman immediately pushes him away and is like, whoa, 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 what are you doing?
Yeah.
So we're led to believe that Nicolas Cage just...
He got to that frame and he's
got
like,
to
nope,
that frame, said print. I don't know what happens after
I've
that.
I've seen enough.
It's all I need, but I do want to print this as an 8x10 for my files.
Put it in the safe.
Yeah. And this is the scene where Nicole Kidman says, I wasn't sleeping with him after all. Congratulations, you figured it out.
Nothing is as it seems in Trespass.
And then, okay, so... And I, well, I guess we're
this
still.
This is where he's explaining, explaining why they need $180,000. And before he starts telling the story, I thought there was a funny self-aware point in the movie where Nicolas Cage is like falling asleep in the chair. The guy's like, "Wake up! I'm telling a story here."
Yeah, that's right.
And I felt like on my couch, I was like doing that too. I'm like, "Oh, sorry, sorry, fake Sam Rockwell."
Nicolas Cage is the audience.
Yeah. But then they go through these series of flashbacks where the Sam Rockwell character is talking about how he is not good at anything except selling dope, and he gets a huge stash of it to start selling, mm-hmm. and then someone jacks it, and then he gets in trouble with the people who gave him the dope, and I guess the big guy that's with him was the henchman for the big boss that was lending all the drugs, so they come up with a scheme to get based back the money because the security guard, not security guard, but right. security system mm-hmm. brother did work for this family and that he thinks is rich and everything. But one of the funniest scene I thought in the flashback, and this is one of my favorite things, is, you know, when directors will, or whoever edits the film does not editors. Like, well, sometimes the director okay. takes well, hard, right?
Continue.
The director is frequently.
I don't know
though.
Much. you think editors edited this film?
Congratulations!
All right. So when like they let a scene, like they hold a shot like a second or two too long.
Yeah.
They show that scene where the big guy and the two brothers at the bar, and like his stripper girlfriend comes over, and she's like, "Hey," and she walks away, and the big guy's like, "She's got a pretty face. Be ashamed to cut that pretty face." And then like the two brothers just like stare at him.
yes.
Like, did you notice that for like a little too long? And then the scene just cuts.
He just like goes back to his sandwich.
Like, it was pretty clear that they didn't even give them like fake dialogue to say or anything. They're just like, nope, nothing on the page. Nothing to say here.
It was like a scene where like, they're like, yeah, you hold it for a little bit just to make sure you got the shot and then you move on to the next one. But they're like, yeah, held it up like 2 seconds too long.
It was like soap opera whenever they go to a commercial break. Yeah. And they always go to a commercial break just on someone like staring at someone.
Yeah. I love little things like that.
I envision in that
moment.
The
subtle nuances that make film like
this. I thought that too. Things. I have to hope that when they were shooting it, Joel Schumacher was saying to them like, oh, no, we'll cut out right at that point. Don't worry.
It reminds me of that scene at the end of The Jerk with Carl Reiner where he's like, my faulty depth perception caused me to cut 2 seconds too late. And the car's like going off the cliff. He's like, cut.
So now we also get some. Okay, so a couple of things. Then even more developments.
There's so much happening.
Even though the security company, they gave them the code.
They still have to send a security.
A security
one of their people
still
out there.
Comes out there. They don't call the cops, but a security person shows up.
Which apparently the guy who works with security company didn't know that was going to happen.
Right.
he should have said, like, just so you know, protocol is they're going to send someone to sign some paperwork.
Right.
Well, this is the security group throwing them for a loop, I think.
Yeah. Right. And the security guy's like, hey, I need to have this paperwork signed. He's immediately shot in the head.
Right in the
I
face.
Love how this guy, though, takes the time. The fake Sam Rockwell does an impersonation of Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
Like, oh, everything's fine. Can we all just go to sleep? We don't have to sign things, do we?
We're all coked up here.
Here's the other thing. So he's talking to Sam Rockwell guy, and the crazy little brother is the one that shoots him in the head.
Yeah.
But then the little brother goes, I know that guy. He took my shift tonight. Like, why wouldn't he just work that night so that if anything went wrong, he would be the one responding to the call?
Exactly. Yes.
Congratulations, Brian. You actually did figure it out.
Yes.
Like, so much would have been avoided if he had just been working that night. Then, like, the call could have come through.
Yeah.
They could have been like, oh, we'll send a security person out to check it out. He could have gone there. Everything would have been fine.
Oh, my God. Yep. He's right.
Yep.
It's true.
Yep. Well, now,
hey, sorry, Tina. I'm gonna need the night off tonight.
Got a side job.
Got some trespassing to do.
Got some trespassing to do.
Yeah, nobody says the name of the movie in this movie. I was a little upset about that. I don't think
it was kind of like. Well, I guess it was better.
I
than
won't
abducted.
Forgive you for this trespass.
It was
like
better than abduction because there actually was some trespassing.
There was.
Yeah.
But there were no oven bombs in this film, which
So this is just where everything starts.
You idiots! There's a bomb in the.
Well, starts revving up to the end, which is.
Well, we do, and the daughter now the daughter freaks out. She's like, "You guys need money. I know where there's money. There's lots
of
money."
Well, because okay, so first off, the strong arm guy wakes up and he starts attacking the little brother.
Yep.
And before he can choke the little brother to death,
the big brother
comes in. Sam Rockwell comes in and shoots him, kills him.
Yep.
But before he kills them, the strong arm guy says, by the way, your brother is the one who set you up for this, so So yeah, which is so weird.
His dying words are like, "Hey, your little brother set you up for this. It's all his fault. I gotta die now."
Yeah, he's just like, ugh. Yeah. So then there's distrust,
and then yet another that what we were talking about before, like twists that don't matter.
Oh, that goes
nowhere. Like, the big brother, the little brother's like, "No, he's lying," and the big brother's like, "No, I believe you."
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Okay, that didn't matter one way or the other.
Flashback, but that's where it was true.
That's where he freaks out and he.
But we can't trust flashbacks.
I was wondering if that was true or not.
Yeah.
So he starts freaking out. He's like, "Okay, I'm just gonna kill everybody now. I'm gonna shoot you right here." And that's when the daughter's like, no, don't shoot him. I know where there's money. There's money in a safe in some other house." And
I was at this other party and there was lots of money there. And so,
he sends the freaking crackhead stripper prostitute girl to
what? I mean, this is nuts. Yeah. There are so many things. All this girl has done is watched Cage Family movies, tried on crazy outfits, done drugs, and he's like, "Yeah, you go with this girl to this party to get the money."
Yeah,
which. Why? I mean, like, even I dare anyone, even in this movie's own logic, to see how that possibly makes sense.
So the daughter
didn't
goes
turn out well.
Here goes our big call.
The daughter goes out with the woman kidnapper, and as they're driving, the woman's like, I'm just gonna go in there. I'm gonna kill all your friends, and I'm gonna take the money. I'm gonna kill you too, and I'm gonna go back and kill your parents." And this whole time, the daughter, you can see her like getting angrier. And
I like the conversation they have before, where she's like, "So what's your big plan?" Like, "This guy wants to sleep with me. I'm gonna go there and take the money."
Yeah.
Like, "You think you're worth $200,000?" She was. That's what like got her on that like rant. Like, she was like offended that.
Yeah, it's like, "You think you're worth more than me?" And
listen, I'm a professional stripper, and I don't even charge that much.
I was really surprised. I thought that storyline was gonna go.
Like,
and she was
16-year-old girl just said she was gonna prostitute herself out.
Oh yeah, and this girl's like, "Oh, this guy wants to sleep with me." And I really thought like the fourth kidnapper was gonna be like, "Well, is he cute?" And like, "Tell me more about this situation." Yeah. Right?
Was he just some guy or like a guy?
Yeah. Do you like him?
Tell me more. They start to increase.
So she's driving and it keeps showing shots to the side of the road where there's power poles and
I was thinking this to myself too.
Yeah,
well, like, we do, and you know what? This is also a callback to a Stop the Movie classic hero strategy that we've seen in Alex Cross and Cold Light of Day, which is
crash yourself
intentionally crash the car you're driving.
So I was expecting her to like jump out of the car, but she didn't.
No, can't. She not does. In this strategy.
She aims the car right at a power pole pole, and she unbuckles the girl's seatbelt just before she hits, and they just slam right into the freaking.
I love the shot. The thing that was so funny about that scene though is you see her like gripping the steering wheel, like going hard on the gas pedal, and then there's just a close-up shot of like her hand really slowly unbuckling the seatbelt.
Click. Yeah. Well, I was just like,
"How did you not see that? If you've got a gun on her,
you really had to do a callback to this. Like, you couldn't.
Yeah.
People, you didn't need to establish that you can crash a car in order to.
Yeah, I remember when Sydney almost lost control of the car. I
would have loved another flashback.
I think a more accurate title for this movie would have been Dead Ends and Insert Shots. There's a lot of weird insert shots.
So,
we should say here too, by the way, fake Sam Rockwell at one point actually reveals what they really want to do with the money, because before she goes out on the heist, the fourth robber's like, he says, they want the money to go to Mexico, get a baby back.
Like her baby's in foster
said something
care.
About
I don't know if they
care,
were taught. Well, they just kept, or something like get a baby out of foster care. For a second, when he said baby back, I'm like, are we talking ribs? Because I don't, like, this could be going anywhere.
We're going to get some baby back ribs.
We're
going to
get your favorite ribs.
And get her off drugs. Yes. I'm like, that is a weird, like, that's what you need the money for?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they take, why do they even take him into the. They end up in the addition.
Again.
Yes. Somehow they end up in the addition.
And I can't remember
Here's... Yeah, I don't remember how they end up in the addition.
Well, the guy kills his brother because he starts messing with Nicole Kidman. Right?
Well, first they end up in the addition.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're... I can't remember what happened.
I can't... I'm
it's
not
just a
sure.
lot happened
okay,
in
so,
40 seconds.
So they... So they start fighting. Him and
He says he's going to kill Nicolas Cage and Nicole. The daughter comes back, right?
Well, first, Cody. They're still in the office, and I think he's going to shoot Nicole Kidman, and Nick Cage attacks him, and he's like, they're fighting. They end up in the audition. They're fighting, and they crash through a wall. I think the brother tackles them both. They crash through a wall, and just money starts raining down.
The audition, just cash. Yeah, this wall in the audition was full of money.
You thought I was broke?
You were wrong.
I've got a wall full of money.
Congratulations.
I've got 10 hundreds of dollars in there.
You think this is real money? It's Monopoly money.
I was expecting, actually, I was like, when they said, oh, you're holding on, I was expecting him to go, oh, it's counterfeit money or something like that. Like, I was waiting for that, but he didn't do it.
And then they show some random shot of Nicolas Cage, like, using a nail gun to nail up a piece of drywall, and then he kind of has this look on his face like, yeah, I did that good. Yeah. And then it cuts back to the scene. Yeah.
Well,
I thought it was funny.
And to set up, call the IT guy.
Yeah. We'll call the IT guy. The IT guy should have been helping out with the security firm.
True. Well, and we should say the daughter intentionally car crashes, and then she handcuffs the fourth robber to her steering wheel. She leaves the car crash. What does she not do?
Call any police
anywhere. She takes the robber's gun and comes back to the home by herself.
Yeah.
And now Sheik walks in with a gun.
Yeah, and now Nicolas Cage and Nicole Kidman are both at gunpoint.
Right.
And she comes in with a gun and aims it at fake Sam Rockwell, who then aims the gun back at the parents, and he says, I'm going to kill one of your parents. Who do you want it to be? And that's when the brother, because he says, I'm going to kill your mother, and the brother kills...
Fake Sam Rockwell. Yeah. And Nicolas Cage then picks up a nail gun. I want to clarify. I don't know if any of you guys have ever used a nail gun, but this is not... Nail guns do not work like a gun.
I don't think they're that powerful.
No, they are... You're putting... A nail gun works when you're putting a nail into something. Like, I can't just, like, shoot a nail gun like I'm shooting, like... like across the room, like, and you can't put nails into things like from like 10
into
feet away.
Foot, you mean from?
Yeah, like
it goes straight through.
Yeah, I mean, like you have to have contact with what you're shooting.
What he does with a nail gun is just phenomenal.
Yeah, like a shootout with like a nail gun.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then what he does?
And then at some point, Nicolas Cage finds a convenient can of like paint thinner gasoline or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And this convenient Zippo lighter. Yeah. Who's Zippo lighter? Where was this lighter from?
He found it on the steps outside by the pool, and he thought it was his daughter's. But then they reveal in a flashback that it was actually the younger brother who was sitting outside the window smoking cigarettes watching Nicole Kidman.
Okay. All right, I missed that. Because this whole time I was also like, boy, this lighter is a crucial plot element.
So he takes the lighter out, and he lights the whatever it is on fire.
Right.
And the whole room bursts into flames.
Okay.
And he's just going to die. He's just like, you guys run away.
Right.
I'm not going to make it.
Right. Right.
And then
he
nails the guy to the floor.
Yeah.
Quite literally. He nails his feet to the floor and he can't move.
Yes.
And so Nicole Kidman and the daughter run out, and then Nicole Kidman comes back and convinces the brother to give her the gun or
to give her she's like
oh no, hey. he's trying to get the gun from him.
Yeah.
And then he grabs her and he's like, I don't trust you. You're just trying to... You're saying what you can to get... To save him or whatever.
I'm back on my medication. Yeah. I took a couple Tic Tacs and I'm thinking clearly now.
So Nicolas Cage then has a gun. I think it's the daughter's gun.
Who knows who has whose gun anymore?
He's got a gun and he shoots him in the neck.
Yes.
And then he stumbles back and falls into the flaming cache of... Or flaming pile of cash.
Kind of like
this
Halloween Resurrection.
This guy lights up faster than Johnny Storm.
Like
I mean, yeah. He is on fire instantly.
Yeah. And then they drag Nicolas Cage out, and
then the daughter calls the cops.
Yes, and then she calls.
Just in the nick of time.
I didn't think she called the cops though. I thought that because there's a fire, a neighbor called the fire department.
The security system was like, "All right, I guess we'll call the police now."
Right,
there's fire there. Right. Something might be.
It's okay, Diamond. All right.
Okay.
All right, just checking in, making sure your house isn't completely
Diamond
burned of life.
And then
end.
The family like hugs all bloody.
Ends on a group hug on the ground.
And Nicolas Cage says, "When I die, you can use my insurance." And she's like, "No, you're gonna live." I had no idea that he was dying.
I don't really think any of their problems have been solved. I would
maybe
say
Nicolas Cage
is worse off. All the money's gone.
Well, basically,
the
at first
gone,
I was thinking,
and he was hiding money from his family.
Yeah.
At first, I was thinking, okay, she cheated on him, and he. Screwed the family fortune, so they kind of like both did a bad thing, but then it turns out that Nicole Kidman didn't do a bad thing at all, and Nicolas Cage is
I think he was still saving the money for the family. He was in dire straits, so he sold the necklace, bought a fake one to replace it, and then saved all the money and whatever other money he was getting, and hid it away because he didn't trust the bank with it or something. I guess he went and had this money hidden away so that they could.
If I was Nicole Kidman, I'd still be like, yeah, that money that you were hiding, my fake necklace and the money was behind that wall and I didn't know about any of this, not cool. Glad we're all alive. No, I was not banging that security guy, but that's still not cool.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I mean,
if you just watched the rest of that security tape, you would have seen
if you would watch that security tape for another 2 frames,
yeah.
You would see.
Looking back on the movie, like, it was actually a remarkably uninteresting family.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
The father was, like, kind of broke but had some money and was hiding it, not for anything, like, interesting other than, like, saving it for his family. The wife wasn't having an affair. It was just kind of a boring lady.
Was a boring housewife.
Yeah.
The daughter left the party when it got,
like,
too
I
crazy.
I thought for
right?
sure, yeah. like, there was going to be more to, like, Nicolas Cage than meets the eye or Nicole Kidman. Yeah. But, like, no, they're just a normal family who got house invaded.
Yeah. Yeah, basically. And the daughter likes to go to parties, but not when they get too crazy. Yeah. Then it's time to come home.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're really pretty dull.
I mean,
yeah.
Maybe the dullest protagonists I've ever seen.
Yeah, all right, so we have two So Wrong It's Right questions, and I know Cody knows the answer to both of them. So Jack and Brian, this is a mano-y-mano face-off.
Mano-y-womano.
Hey-oh! All right, the first one is, take a guess between when this movie was in theaters and when it hit DVD.
How many days?
How many days?
How many days?
Days.
Days.
I'll go with 35.
Brian takes 35. Oh, by the way, as always on this show, and due to problems, Price is Right rules do not apply because of flagrant abuse of the $1 rule.
That might have been my fault.
Okay.
So you're saying 30 days?
35.
35, a little over a month. I'm going to say... 7, 1 week.
Whoa.
Somewhere in between.
It's 18 days.
This Who is closer?
18 days.
You were
7
wait.
To 35. I think 7's closer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
7 would be closer. Wow. Jack, very close to the price.
7's a little ridiculous.
I know. You basically
that's
skirted the price.
That was basically
right
a
rule.
1.
Yeah.
No. I honestly thought
it couldn't have been under 7.
Because I was thinking a month was being too kind, but I just seemed like the kind of, you wouldn't be asking the question unless it was some ungodly low number. So
well,
35
is pretty
days.
Low.
Right.
Yeah, that is pretty low.
That is true.
I think, too, it was released in theater and on demand, like, the same day.
It was.
Yeah, that's kind of a neat thing they've been doing. Yeah.
All right, so we have a second question. This production was thrown into complete upheaval very shortly before it started shooting, essentially days before it started shooting. I'm going to give you 4 scenarios. One of these is true. The other 3 I made up.
Okay.
One of them is... Jennifer Lawrence was actually cast as the female robber and had to drop Ooh. Out when she essentially realized she had a real career. It's 1. 2, Zac Efron was cast as the young robber and had to drop out when it became apparent he and Nicole Kidman were about to have the same situation in Paperboy. 3, Nick Cage dropped out of the movie because he wanted to play, he had been cast in his role, but actually wanted to play the villain and dropped out because they wouldn't let him switch roles. Or 4, in the original script, they had to make a shift where Nicole Kidman's character had a split personality and one of her personalities actually was sleeping with the young kidnapper. And they had to adjust the film over taking that out.
I know this one already, unfortunately. But I also just want to say the Zac Efron scenario, they could have been like in the security camera tapes. Like if they had gone a step further, she could have just been like, all I did was pee on him. Sleep with him.
If someone's going to be peeing on our security guy.
It's going to be me, damn it.
Yeah. All right, Jack, which one are you going for?
So I'm going to take the Jennifer Lawrence route.
Okay. which is
a recast of a character who isn't major but major enough would do that to a production, would create a little.
That was actually issue. Probably the most realistic of the options, the but it is yeah. one I created. That Aww. One is not it. The truth of it is, Nick Cage left the film for a day saying he was going to leave if they wouldn't allow him to switch roles, and he wanted to play the fake Sam Rockwell role.
Yeah. And then he just came back the next day. And
he
was
came
like,
back. Okay. They immediately contacted Liev Schreiber. And he was ready to step in, and
really?
then Nick Cage came back to the production. Yeah.
That would have been an interesting movie, though, with him playing the father and the husband, and then Nicolas Cage playing the crazy.
Probably would have been a much better movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he signed on the role. Why the hell would he last minute be like, oh my God. Because
he's Nicolas Cage.
Because he probably read the script and was like, wow, this is an uninteresting character.
Yeah.
I should have read this before I accepted.
All this guy is puffy and big glasses.
And if he's a bad guy, you get to shout more.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can get punched 20% less. Although, actually, that guy got.
You thought I wanted to play the father? Yeah. You were wrong.
Wrong. You figured it out.
But then we wouldn't have gotten the great hand crawl.
Yeah. Oh. That segues into, is this so bad it's good? I'm just going to go first and say, just for that moment, just for the hand crawl across the table as he tries to get to a knife, right there, this movie won me over. I
might watch this again.
Yeah.
I thought it was entertaining.
I would absolutely watch this again. This film had me from Cage's first freak out to the last ridiculous frame. It's pure, unadulterated, ridiculous awesomeness.
Wow. It is more fun.
But it is a bad movie.
Oh, it's terrible. It's the closer you pay attention to how ridiculous it is, the more fun the movie is. Like, if you actually just kind of watch it casually, you might be like, oh, what? Oh, that's just dumb. But if you're like actually trying to follow it, it's so much better.
It is. It's like a ride.
Yes.
like a ride.
It's like a ride.
It's going on the box.
Once again,
it's like a ride.
Jack. Once again, Jack providing a good review that could be on the box of this movie.
I feel like if some of these movies found out about this podcast, they would actually take some of our quotes and put them on the cover of the DVD.
Suddenly, it's we find out that Andy Wolf has been on the take the whole time. Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan has been paying him.
Yeah. This movie has good Wait atmosphere. A minute. Says Andy Wolf.
Andy's redoing his basement.
Oh.
Stacks on stacks in the basement?
I was thinking of that when we were over there yesterday. I knew he hadn't seen it, but I was thinking about like, oh no, is this wall full of
money? Push him into the wall and all this cash coming down?
All right, that brings this one to a close. We will be back soon with more laughably bad movies, more fun, more guests, all kinds of good things in the works. And at this point, we're going to, it's the plea we've been making lately. If you enjoy the show, please take a second, leave us a review on iTunes. We had a couple of fantastic reviews left, including one I really appreciated of our Cold Light of Day episode, which is one of my... it's like a lesser-known film, but it is one of my favorite episodes we've done.
I bought that movie on DVD, actually. I loved it so much.
Did you really? Yeah. It's that somebody was actually willing to like talk about that episode. I was like, oh, that's very cool. Just take a second. If you can leave us one, that would be great. Helps the show. And I think other than that, it brings it to a close. If you want to contact us on Twitter, at WindUpFilms, at Cody A. Wolf, at Jack Estabrook.
Actually, I just want to let you know right now, that's not my real Twitter account. Congratulations, you figured it out.
asshole.
Yeah. Now we know. All right, that brings us into a close. Until next time. You think the podcast is over? This podcast isn't over.